Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at the gospel service tonight. We appreciate your presence with us. We're turning to the hymn 589 as we commence the meeting. We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? 589, we'll leave out the middle verse, as we'll sing verses 1 and 2 and then 4 and 5. And we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's just bow together in prayer. We're going to bring the meeting before the Lord. Pray for his presence. And pray he'll be pleased to pour out his blessing upon us tonight. Our Father, we approach your throne, thankful for the privilege that we have. We're mindful that you've told us in your word that a man that would have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. We thank you tonight, Father, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. In the words of the hymn writer, we rejoice that we can say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We rejoice, Father, that we can bring every burden, every care, every anxiety onto thyself. We need thee to teach us to pray. We ask that even now, as we're bowed before thee, that you'll lead us on at the throne of grace. We plead for the Saviour to be with us tonight. We ask that you'll come and be amongst us, come and be in our midst. We pray, Father, it will please thee to visit us in such a way that you fill this building with your presence. You come, Father, and be in our midst, and that all that are gathered here, regardless of where they're sitting in this meeting, will feel your presence, be conscious that the Lord is amongst us as his people. Lord, we pray for a visitation of the Lord, not just upon this church, but upon every congregation across the land that is faithful to the things of God, to the blood and to the book. We pray for a visitation of God once again upon this nation of ours. We're praying, Father, that you'll come down upon us. We ask the Lord that in wrath you will remember mercy. We pray that you'll come down not in judgment upon this nation. And yet, Father, we're conscious, we acknowledge the wickedness of our land and that we deserve the judgment of God. But, Lord, we're asking that you'll come down upon us in blessing. We pray, Father, that you'll come upon us in a mighty blessing, even of revival blessing. We pray the Spirit will come and work in this land. We want to ask, Father, that you'll abide with us in our meeting tonight. We give this meeting just into your hands. We know there's no better place, no safer place for this meeting to be than to be in your hands. We ask you to lead us tonight. Come and guide us. We ask you to guide us through the service. Guide us through, Father, every part of the meeting. We acknowledge that we've often been in meetings such as this. We've often, Father, gone through the order of service, the routine. But we just don't want to go through the motions, Father, of another evening meeting. We want to have a time when we do business with God. When you come, Father, amongst us, when you come and teach us from your word, we want to pray, Father, that there will be fruit in this service tonight. We ask for souls to be spoken to and won to Christ. We pray that you'll give to us as a church a soul-winning ministry, and not just on the Sabbath days. But Lord, we pray that you'll come in such a way that every day of the week there'll be men and women been won to Christ in this city and through the ministry of this church. Oh God, it is for such days that we long for, that we plead for. We have read of them and we have heard of them. But our longing, Father, is to know them and to experience them ourselves. We ask thee to remember this church and every department of it. We pray for the blessing of God. We pray, Father, that you'll prosper our labors. We pray for the increase to be given. We want to pray, Father, that you'll build up the work of God again. We're all very conscious of the damage that was done to the testimony of Christ through those years of the pandemic. And Lord, we pray for the building up again of the work of God. We pray that you'll build your church here in this city. We ask thee, Father, to add to every department of the church, even as we look forward in a few weeks' time to that new season beginning. We pray, Father, that it will be a time of rich blessing, of the hand of God moving amongst us. We want to pray for the Holiday Bible Club and all the preparations been made for it next week or next month. We would pray, Father, that you'll prepare the way. We pray you'll speak to hearts. We pray that children's hearts will be prepared. Remember a sister who will minister at those meetings. We pray that you'll come amongst us as a soul winner in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, that many children will be brought to the Saviour and that the influence of the gospel will be brought to bear on many homes across this city. Thank you, Father, for the Bible, for the book of God. We pray for a greater desire for your word. We pray, Father, that you'll give us a desire to meditate upon it day and night. We pray that you'll revive even our Bible reading and our Bible study. We ask that you'll come tonight and be our teacher. We thank you for this book that, above all else, is a revelation of thyself. We thank you, Father, that it has pleased thee in mercy to reveal yourself to us. And we pray that you'll give us a sight of thyself tonight in this meeting. It is for a vision of God. Show us thyself would be the cry of our hearts. We pray that our Saviour will be magnified in our meeting tonight. Help us to exalt Christ in all that we do and in all that we say. And Lord, we plead that by your Spirit that a lost soul will be drawn to the cross in salvation. Answer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. 332, the hymn 332, please. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. 1, 3, and 5, please. We'll keep our seats as we sing these verses, the first, the third, and the last of 332.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart. And though dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy pour my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen. We're turning to read together in the scriptures, please. To Matthew's Gospel and the second chapter. The second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the first verse. It's a portion that we more readily associate with Christmas time. But there's a question, especially in the passage, that we want to take as our text for our Bible study tonight. So Matthew chapter 2, the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they had saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We'll close the reading there at the end of verse 12. And we pray that the Lord will add his blessing tonight. Bless to every heart the public reading of his word. We thank you all for coming along to our gospel service tonight. We welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath evening in the holiday time. We're glad to see all that have joined with us. We want you to know that we appreciate your attendance tonight. We appreciate your fellowship, your faithfulness in coming to the Lord's house. May the Lord bless and encourage you for that. We especially welcome those that are visitors with us in the gospel service this evening. We're glad to have you with us, and our prayer is that you'll know the Lord's presence and that you'll be encouraged and blessed through this meeting, especially the preaching of the Lord's word. We're glad to see the children and the young people that have come to the evening gospel service. We pray that you'll be blessed. We pray that you'll feel at home in the meeting tonight, and the Lord will encourage you in your heart as well. And we take a moment to welcome all that are watching our service on the live stream. We're glad that you're able to join us in that manner, and we pray you'll know the Lord's presence and hear a speaking voice as well. Just remind you of the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week. Wednesday at 8, our midweek service, the prayer meeting and Bible study in the church hall downstairs. I hope to be preaching at that meeting myself, and we encourage you to come and join with us. Next Lord's Day, the 30th of July, the meeting's 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Keep in mind the half hour of prayer before both services. We encourage you to join us for those, and I'll be the preacher at both of those meetings. Just to remind you that the next night that the outreach team will be going forth is Tuesday night week. So that's Tuesday the 1st of August. Meeting here, first of all, as they usually do at the church at 7:30 that evening. Be in prayer for that outreach, that the Lord will give favourable weather, as we've been passing through a very wet and unsettled time. Pray the Lord will give good weather for the team as they go forth, and a good reception for the literature as it goes out into the homes in this city, and that it will be used of God to bring others in, and especially to bring others to the Saviour. Remember that they would be very pleased to have new members, new folk come and join the outreach team in the remaining months of this summertime. So keep that in mind. Just remind you of the Holiday Bible Club in the church, the 14th to 17th of August. And then on that Sabbath evening will be the parents' night. Keep in mind there's a list in the porch of all of the activities. We encourage you to take a few moments as soon as you can to look at that list. And whatever activities that you would like to help with, put your name beside those just as soon as you can. We want as many people as possible to be labouring for the Lord, and it's a good opportunity to help and give support in the ministry among the boys and girls. And remember to take the flyers as well with all of the details. That's an important work as well, helping to make those meetings known among the children where you live, or among the children and young people in your family. Keep in mind the magazines. If you haven't received your copies yet, remember that there is a picture and a few details of the presentation to our Elder Emeritus, Mr. Norman Kerr, in the most recent edition of the Vision magazine. The Whitfield College, the Academic Committee, have asked us to emphasise that the Christian Workers Training Academy is being recommenced again. It had been postponed over the years of the pandemic, so they're glad to be able to recommence it. It does move around the province to give people in different locations in the province the opportunity to attend those lectures. So this year, this winter, it's going to be in Tandragee. It does cost £100 for the 14 lectures. There's two terms. The second term commences at the end of January, the 25th of January. So remember that there's cards that give you the full details, and on the back of that card is the application form. And because there's generally a very good level of interest in the academy, you're encouraged to apply as soon as possible. Remember all our senior members in your prayers, those that no longer can come. Pray that they'll be conscious of the Lord's presence with them. Give them grace for all their needs, especially needing prayer at this time. Mrs. Verner, remember that she had a fall, some injuries to her leg, her foot and ankle. She's been moved to Roxburgh House for a little bit of rehabilitation. Mrs. Gillespie still in Craigavon Hospital, hoping to be home at the start of this week if things settle down for her. So pray that that will take place. And our brother Norman that we've mentioned, pray that he will know the Lord's grace, just easing that very severe pain that he does experience. Remember the Lough Erne Convention commences next Lord's Day, the 30th of July. The meetings will run through the following week up to the following weekend. They have produced the lovely little booklet with all of the details. It tells you the times, even the location of the Bethel Church in Enniskillen, if you haven't been down there before. The Reverend Armstrong, Dr. Douglas, Dr. Pollock are the preachers this year. Even if you're not down there staying, some folk do go down and stay for a few days and attend the meetings, but even if you'd like to go down for some of those services, the Reverend Porter and the folk there would appreciate your support very much indeed. Remember that the Finlay family asked us to express their thanks to all from the church who were able to support and give so generously to the fundraiser that they held on Thursday night for the trip to Romania that Abigail will be a part of. That's leaving on Friday week, the 4th of August. So far, £1,245 have been raised, and you can still give to that appeal. See our brother and sister if you would like to add to it. Just remind you finally that our missionary to Asia that has been home for a few holidays, especially to see and spend a little time with her mum, returning to the field this Tuesday in the will of the Lord. So do remember our sister as she leaves, that the Lord will give grace just in these difficult circumstances. Pray for a smooth and safe journey back. Pray for encouragements there just in the work. Remember, it's always good as you take up the labours again to be encouraged and to have encouragements. So pray that that will be so. And especially remember the matter of the visa, the work visa that is needed, generally given for 6 months or a year. Would like it to be for maybe 2 or 3 years if that was possible. So pray that that would be the case, that in that regard the application would find favour with the authorities there. So do please remember our sister very much in your prayers. 588, we're going to sing together these lovely verses. Forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word, 'tis immortality. Herein the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. So 588 will stand as we sing, please. Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord. We'll bow before the Lord again at the throne of grace. Father, we ask that you'll bless in a very special way the remainder of this meeting. We ask that it will please thee to give to us even a little time of heaven upon the earth. And we rejoice that we have that prospect, many in this meeting tonight, that we're going to go one day to see the King in all his glory, that we're going to be forever with the Lord, even as we've just sung together. And Lord, we want to praise thee tonight for your mercy to us and salvation. We're glad that we can say we're going home to glory soon to see the city bright and walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. We plead, Father, that that will be so of all in this meeting. We're concerned and troubled about those that are out of Christ, that those, Father, who are not right with thee, some that are cold and backslidden, even in our family circles too. We want to ask for a move of your Spirit. Lord, we plead that you'll come and work in hearts in this service tonight. Come and strive by your Spirit. We ask for help in the ministry. We pray for utterance to be given. We pray that we might be a vessel in your hands tonight. And Lord, we're asking that in this house, that souls will be saved to your praise and to your glory. Answer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, please. And the words of the verse 2. It says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. It's the words there at the very beginning of the verse, where is he, that we want to take as our text tonight. We have been thinking from around Easter time, there's been some breaks for various reasons, but on Sabbath evenings we have been considering subjects related to God himself. What a study that is. Remember that theology proper is the study of God. Theology general takes in all the great doctrines of the Word of God, but strictly speaking, theology is the study of God himself. And we have been engaged in a little bit of that study. Keep in mind that this book that you hold in your hands is a revelation, that we would not have known God but for the fact that he has revealed himself to us. He revealed himself in the natural revelation, that is in the creation itself, and he has especially revealed himself in the supernatural revelation, and that is the Bible, the book of God. If you read the 19th Psalm, both of those revelations are spoken of. The heavens declare the glory of God, and then it goes on a little further, the latter half of the psalm, to speak about the scriptures. So we come tonight to think of the question, where is God? That's the question that we want to consider just for a little while in our series of studies. If there is a God, and we have learned that there's no doubt of that fact, in addition, we have studied what God is like, what God does. Last Sabbath evening, we took a little time just to focus in upon the works of God. And from there, it naturally follows that we examine the question, where is God, or where can God be found? Whenever you hear about someone who is very interesting, someone that grips your attention, you naturally ask, where does he live? Where does he lodge? Where can that person be located or found? And that is the question that we want to ask, and with the Lord's help answer about God in this meeting tonight. So just consider that for a moment. Where is God? And in a sense, that is the inquiry that is being made here in this text. The wise men inquired of Herod concerning the Lord Jesus. Where is he? The wise men wanted to know the place where the Lord Jesus was. They sincerely, you think of how far they had traveled, how far they had come just to see, to find the Lord Jesus. So they sincerely wanted to locate him. They were searching for the whereabouts of the one who is God the Son. And in our meeting tonight, we want to take that same question, but we want to broaden it out to take in all the persons of the Trinity, and we want to ask, where is he? Where is God? Where can we locate the Godhead? Now, your first response to that question may be that there's only one answer to it, one answer to the question. But the fact is, men and women, that there is actually more than one answer to that question. there is at least three answers that can be given to it. And every one of those answers would be right and proper and scriptural. There is at least three places, three specific places that we can point to and say that God is there. So let us note, let us emphasize those places together tonight. First of all, I want to emphasize, I want you to learn that God is around you. I just ponder that. Let me emphasize it to you. God is all around you. In fact, there's not a spot in the universe, not a spot where God cannot be found. You listen to these words of the psalmist. It's Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So those verses, they underline, they leave us in no doubt. There's not a place, there's not a spot in this universe where God is not found. Now, let me remind you that we have already touched a little on this subject when we looked at the omnipresence of God. Remember that omnipresence is the truth that God is not limited to space. There's no limits to our God. No limits to his knowledge. No limits to his power. And there's no limits to God as to space. God is present in every place at exactly the same time. Remember, that cannot be said of the devil. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil can only be in one place at one time. So we have considered, dwelt a little upon God's omnipresence. But there is another similar truth that needs to be stressed and dealt with here. And that's the immensity of God. And that is the truth, men and women, that God is immeasurable. No dimensions could ever be placed upon our God, upon the God of the Bible. Whenever you fill in an application form, sometimes you're asked questions that include you having to supply your height, your weight. Maybe some shops that you go into from time to time, you need to provide people with your shoe size or your clothes size. And all of those facts indicate that dimensions can be placed upon you. Dimensions can be placed upon every person. Everything about you can be measured, and everything about you can be numbered. The Bible tells us that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. And that gives you a very important contrast between God and you. We can be measured, but God, men and women, God is immeasurable. You could never say how high or how wide or how deep God is, because no dimensions could ever be placed upon him. If you consider the vastness of this universe, if you consider the fact that there's almost mind-boggling distances to some of the stars, some of the planets, mind-boggling distances to some of the solar systems, the other solar systems in the universe, but yet even those distances can be measured. Men have been able to some extent to put a figure upon those distances. Whenever they talk about light years, so many light years from Earth to a certain planet, they can measure the distance. And men and women, if those vast distances can be measured, but yet God cannot be measured, then it will give you some idea tonight of God's size, of God's immensity. The Bible presents it like this. Remember the words of Solomon? Solomon spoke about God's immensity. He was talking about the temple that he had built. And this is what he declared in 1 Kings 8 and 27. Whenever he was praying at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Remember what I said this morning, when you find a behold in the Bible, It's like a stop sign. You need to take time to ponder what God is saying. Behold. So here's something of note. The heaven and heaven of heavens, the vastness of the universe. And he says it cannot contain thee. God is so vast, God is so immense, that he transcends the entire universe. He excels and he surpasses even the massive bounds of what we describe as outer space. That, men and women, is God's immensity. That is where immensity differs from omnipresence. Omnipresence teaches that God fills all space, whereas immensity adds to that and shows that not only does God fill all space, but that he is so vast that he even transcends all space. God is bigger. Just take a moment to try and grasp that. Our little finite minds to take it in. God is bigger than this vast universe. The question was once asked, why is there only one God? Remember, the children often are very, very quick with answers to questions like that. And in the particular company that question was asked, a child spoke up and said that God fills every place and there's no room for another. Was not a good answer. Why is there only one God, men and women? Because he's so big, he's so vast, that he fills every place in the vastness of this universe and beyond. And there's no room for another, no room for another God. The immensity of God. He is immeasurable. Do you know what one of the major faults of modern-day theology and modern-day Christianity is? It is the very small view that they have of God. They want to make God a dwarf. Theologians and many Christians today, they've brought God down to man's level. They've brought God down to man's plane. But I want you to know tonight that's not the God of the Bible. The Bible often speaks of God as great. Remember Nehemiah prayed when he was pleading for the city of Jerusalem about the great and the terrible God. That word terrible sometimes causes people a little bit of difficulty. It is the idea of God, he's a God to be feared, a God to be awed. He's the great and terrible God. So I want you to grasp that tonight. God is great. And one of the aspects of his greatness is his size. Remember that Zophar in the book of Job, he asked, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" Can you find out his size, his dimensions? And the answer, men and women, is no, you cannot. That is something that is impossible. He is so immense, he is so immeasurable, that he is all around you in this universe and beyond, even beyond it. And men and women, let me stress to you tonight, especially if you're out of Christ, that knowing that fact, it should cause you to realize how futile it is to try to flee from God. That is something that you cannot do. You cannot flee from the God who is all around you. A heathen chief and a Jewish rabbi were once in a little bit of discussion about theology. The heathen chief said that my God is greater than your God. The rabbi asked, "Why do you say that?" The heathen chief said, "Well, when God appeared to Moses in the bush, Moses covered his face. But when Moses stood before the serpent and they said, 'The serpent, the snake, is my God,'" those were the words of the heathen chief. "When Moses stood before the serpent, my God," he said, "he fled from it. So my God is greater than your God." Well, the Jewish rabbi replied, he said, "Our God is so great. He is in heaven, he's in earth, he's in every place. You cannot flee from him. Your God is so small. A few steps delivers you from the snake, from your idol, but there's no place to flee from the God of heaven." I want you to know that tonight, men and women. You can flee from your idols. You can flee from all the idols of men. They are no gods. They are so tiny, so puny. But God is so immense. God is so vast that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you go. You can never escape from him. And if it is so futile to escape from God, then what you ought to do is yield yourself to Him. Yield yourself to Him, especially in salvation. So where is God? He is all around you. The second thing I'll emphasize is that, in answer to that question, is that God is above you. And here, of course, we're referring to heaven itself. Do you remember the words of Solomon, the wise man, the preacher, in the book of Ecclesiastes? He said, God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. God is above you. The Bible teaches us that in all there are three heavens. Remember that Paul in 2 Corinthians, he spoke about being caught up into the third heaven. There are three heavens. You ask tonight, what are the three heavens? Well, the first heaven, that's where the birds fly. What is generally called or described as the earth's atmosphere. The second heaven, well, that's where the stars, that's where the planets are. And the third heaven, that's where the redeemed go after death. So be clear about that fact tonight. There are three heavens. And as we have just noted, God is so immense that He is found in all of those three heavens, and He's found in all three of them at all time. But it is also true and right, men and women, to say that God is especially present in the third heaven, because the third heaven is God's home. It is God's dwelling place. You will often read in the Old Testament scriptures the statement that is made, in heaven thy dwelling place. It's not very specific, very clear. Referring to the Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. And that's what the third heaven is, especially. It's God's dwelling place. It is the place where God especially is present. It's the place where God abides in a particular, in a special fashion. But did you ever ask yourself, men and women, what is it that makes heaven what it is? Heaven is described in the scriptures as a place of bliss, a place of peace, a place of joy and happiness. It is the antithesis, it is the opposite of all that hell is. But what is it that makes heaven that place of bliss and happiness? Is it the beauty? Is it the singing? Is it the purity? Is it the people? The souls that are gathered? Is it the angels? Seeing those angels in the glory land? What is it that makes heaven what it is? Well, men and women, it's none of those things that I have listed. What makes heaven what it is, that special, wonderful place, is the fact that God is there. It is the fact that you will be in His presence. You will be in God's company, and you'll be in His presence for all eternity. This is the holiday season. Folk are coming and going. We pray the Lord will be with each one and watch over them, give them a blessed time with their families, a time of refreshing. Sometimes when you go on holiday, you stay in nice hotels, you have the best food, the highest quality of service. But whenever people come home from their holidays, they sometimes tell about all of those things, but then they say, but it was the company that really made the holiday. Everything else fades beside those that they spent that holiday with. And men and women, that is just what heaven will be like. The beauty, the singing, the people, the angels, all of those things will be wonderful to behold. They will be tremendous, beyond description to experience. But it will be Christ that really makes heaven the place of paradise. Everything else will lose your attention. And He alone will be the center, the focus of your attention. Isn't that what the Savior Himself taught when He stated in those lovely and familiar words, John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. We were thinking this morning of a second coming. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the Savior is going to take His people to heaven, not so that we can see the angels, and not so that we can walk upon the streets of pure gold, But he's going to take us to heaven so that we can be with him in his company forever and forever. Heaven is heaven because there you will be with Christ. Didn't Paul teach the same thing when he spoke of being absent from the body to be present with the Lord? What was heaven going to be for Paul? It was going to be with Christ, going to be present in his presence, to be there with the Lord for all eternity. Can I ask you tonight, do you have that prospect? Heaven today is above you. God today, in this sense, is above you. He is in heaven, in his dwelling place. But if you are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then one day you will go up above. You will go to heaven too. And then you will not be down here below. You'll not be down below God, but you will be with him. You'll be there in his presence and in his company forevermore. We pray that that will be your prospect. If it's not, may the Lord challenge you and speak to you about that tonight in your need to come to Christ in salvation. God is above you. And there is one other place that the Bible teaches that God is, and that is God is within you. The Bible teaches that whenever a person receives Christ as their Savior, that God actually comes. Let me just repeat that for you. God actually comes and dwells within that person. Isn't that a marvel, a wonder? John 14 and 17, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Note those words, in you. God in the person of his Spirit dwells within his people. In fact, the scriptures reveal that when a person is saved, that their body becomes the temple. It becomes the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. This is what Paul said, writing to the Corinthian believers, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So what a sobering truth that is, men and women. And how it should challenge you tonight. How it should challenge you to take particular care of your body. How it should challenge you to take particular care of what you do with the body that God has given you, the body with which God has blessed you, knowing that it is the residence, your body is the residence of the God of heaven. Way back at the end of the 17th century and into the early part of the 18th century, there was one of those free thinkers called Anthony Collins. Poured a lot of scorn upon the things of God. He died in 1729. One day, as he was out for a walk, he met a working man. And he stopped the man and asked him where he was going. The man said, "I'm going to church, sir." So he thought he would sneer a little. He thought he would try to get this man tied up in knots, confuse him a little about the things of God. So he asked him the question, "Is your God a great God or a little God?" Well, that dear, humble believer gave him an answer that he was caused to think about for a long time afterwards. He said that my God is so great that he fills the entire universe. The heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him. And yet he is so little that he dwells within my heart. You know, Anthony Collins said that simple statement from that humble Christian, it gave him more to think about with the things of God than all the volumes that he had read in favor of religion. So you think of that tonight, men and women. The one who transcends the universe, the one who resides in glory, has actually condescended to make his residence in the bodies of his people, in the bodies of men and women. And if that is true, and it is, and we know that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there, then for those who have Christ within them, And the Bible describes that as the hope of glory. Those who have Christ within them, heaven has already begun for us below. But I want to stress to you all tonight, I want to really underline the fact that God only dwells in those who trust Him as their Savior, those who trust Him for salvation. This is not the lot. This is not the experience or the condition of every person across the face of the earth. God does not dwell in the lives of those who refuse Him entry into their heart and life. If you have shut God out of your life, if you refuse to accept Him, then I want you to know that tonight that God does not dwell within you, doesn't dwell in your body. And that's very solemn. That's a very serious situation. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If God isn't within you tonight, then you're not saved. You're not His child. You know not Christ as your Savior. You're not on your way to heaven. And if you have rejected God and refused to let Him dwell in your life, then you need to know that one day God will reject you and He'll refuse you entry into His eternal home. He will say to you on that day, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. I want you to learn tonight, men and women, if I could sum it up like this, that God must dwell within you before you can go and dwell with God. Let me just repeat that and emphasize it. God must dwell within you before you can go and dwell with God in heaven forever and forever. So I want to urge you, if you haven't already done so, let Him in tonight. Let Him into your heart and into your life. We sometimes sing the words of the hymn, swing your heart's door widely open and bid Him enter while you may. So here then are the answers to the question, where is God? He is around you, the immensity of God. The heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. He is above you, in heaven thy dwelling place. God is especially present in the third heaven, and He is within you. And what a solemnizing truth that is. If you know Christ as your Savior, He has come to dwell within you. But just in closing, let me turn that whole situation completely around. We have been asking tonight, where is God? But God would come to this meeting with an inquiry. God would come into this service with a question for you. And it is the question, where are you? We have been asking, where is God? Well, God would ask you tonight, where are you? Remember, the first question God ever asked of fallen man is the question, where art thou? And God's still asking that question. He would ask that question in this gospel service tonight. Where art thou? It's a personal question. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you on your way to heaven? Or are you still on that broad road that leads to hell, that leads to destruction? Where are you, my friend, at the end of this gospel service? It's very important to know where God is, to know where God dwells in relation to us. That has been a vital study for us to engage in tonight. But it is true to say, men and women, that it is much more important to know where you are in relation to God, where you are tonight and your soul in relation to God's great eternity. Because to be in the right place with God will mean heaven, will mean eternal life for you. So if you're not right with God, if you're not saved, we urge you to come to Christ. Don't go home tonight without the Savior. If you're a backslider, not walking with the Lord, then we urge you to get right with God. The backslider, his fellowship can be restored. Your fellowship can be restored with the Lord. So we urge you not to go away from the service without putting things right with the Lord Himself. So where is He? Where is God? May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts tonight. A couple of verses of 256 as we finish. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? We're going to sing just the first two verses, verses 1 and 2, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing. Father, we bow before thee at the close of this service. Thank you for every part of the meeting. We thank you particularly for the word of God, for all that you've shown us, all that you've taught us. We thank you, Father, that in grace you were pleased to reveal yourself to us. We want to pray that we would know your presence right throughout this week. We pray that you'll be with us, that we'll know the nearness of the Lord. We want to pray too, Father, that every time that we meet in this place, that it will be filled with your presence and with your glory. When we consider, Father, this truth of the immensity of our God, we want to say to thee tonight how great thou art. We bow, Father, before thee and give to thee the worship of our hearts. And we want to pray that you'll come and reveal your greatness again in this land and in this nation of ours, especially, Father. We pray that your presence will be felt across the nation and the power of God will be evident through the preaching of your precious word. We ask thee, Father, guide us through this week. We pray that it will be pleased, that you'll be pleased to use us. Help us ever to be mindful in all that we do, that the Spirit of God that is within us. Deliver us, Father, from grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and our cry would be that through this week, every day of it, that you'll make us a channel of blessing. Pray that you'll speak to those without Christ tonight. We pray, Father, that there'll be someone in this meeting that will come to the Savior, come and open their heart's door and invite the Savior in. We want to pray, Father, that they'll not flee any further from thee, but they'll flee from the wrath that is to come. Answer these our cries. And we pray that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.